Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archeries Podcast. Today I will summarize and review the book, The Trial and Death of Socrates. Four Dialogues brings together four of Plato's most influential works that revolve around the last days of Socrates and the moral questions his life and death still provoke. Presented in an accessible Dover Thrift edition, the collection commonly includes Euthyphro, Apology, Credo, and Phaedo, a sequence that moves from a debate about piety to Socrates' courtroom defense, to a tense discussion of escape and civic duty, and finally to an extended meditation on the soul and philosophical living. Rather than offering a conventional biography, these dialogues dramatize arguments in motion, showing Socrates questioning assumptions, pressing for definitions, and testing whether a life is guided by truth or by social approval. The result is a compact gateway into classical philosophy that also reads like a gripping ethical case study. Readers encounter foundational themes such as justice, law, virtue, death, and the responsibilities of citizenship, all framed by a historical trial that continues to symbolize the conflict between conscience and authority. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, piety and moral definition in Euthyphro. The opening dialogue typically sets the stage by placing Socrates outside the law courts in conversation with Euthyphro, a man confident in his religious and moral expertise. The discussion turns on a deceptively simple problem: what makes an action pious or morally right? Socrates pushes for a definition that captures the essence of piety rather than a list of examples. This method exposes how easily people confuse tradition, social approval, or divine favor with a stable moral standard. A central tension is whether the gods love the pious because it is pious, or whether it becomes pious because the gods love it. That dilemma matters beyond ancient religion because it forces readers to ask whether morality depends on authority or on reasons that hold even when authorities disagree. The dialogue also previews Socrates' larger mission, to question complacency and to treat ethical language as something that must be clarified, not merely inherited. By watching the definition attempts fail under scrutiny, readers learn why philosophy often begins with intellectual humility. The topic prepares the reader for the trial by showing that Socrates is not merely argumentative but concerned with living responsibly under principles that can be justified. Secondly, Socrates' defense and the meaning of a philosophical life in Apology. Apology presents Socrates responding to formal accusations and, more broadly, to public suspicion toward his way of life. Instead of pleading for sympathy, he frames the trial as a referendum on whether a community values truth-seeking. He explains his practice of questioning prominent citizens and claims that exposing false confidence is a public service, even if it makes him unpopular. This dialogue highlights the difference between persuasion and integrity. Socrates chooses consistency with his principles over rhetorical tactics designed solely to win. The text also explores what it means to care for the soul, a theme that challenges readers to treat character and wisdom as higher priorities than status or wealth. Another key element is Socrates' attitude toward death. He discusses uncertainty about what death is and argues that fearing it as the greatest evil is irrational without knowledge. That stance does not trivialize mortality, it reframes courage as obedience to reason rather than to emotion or reputation. The trial narrative reveals how philosophy can become politically charged when it questions respected norms. Through this, readers see why Socrates becomes a model for intellectual conscience, and why his defense remains a cornerstone of discussions about free inquiry and moral responsibility. Thirdly, law, conscience, and civil obligation in Credo. Credo focuses on a practical crisis. Socrates has the opportunity to escape prison, and his friend urges him to save his life. The debate turns into a rigorous inquiry about justice and the duties one owes to the laws of one's city. Socrates does not treat the issue as a calculation of personal benefit. He asks whether escaping would be wrong even if it is possible. He argues that returning injustice for injustice corrupts the soul, and he tests the idea that public opinion should guide action. The dialogue also introduces the notion that a citizen has entered an implicit agreement with the legal system by choosing to live within it and benefit from it. This raises enduring questions. When is obedience to law morally required, and when might resistance be justified? What does it mean to consent to political authority? How should personal loyalty to friends relate to obligations to civic order? Socrates' conclusion, that he must accept the legal outcome even if it is harsh, is intentionally challenging. It can be read as a defense of principled consistency, not blind compliance. By staging the conflict between heartfelt friendship and rational ethics, the dialogue invites readers to examine how they decide when consequences tempt them away from what they believe is right. Fourthly, the soul, immortality, and philosophical preparation for death in Phaedo. Phaedo expands the story into a final conversation on the day of Socrates' death, shifting the focus from civic questions to metaphysical and spiritual ones. The dialogue presents philosophy as a practice of separating the mind from distractions, training the person to pursue what is stable, true, and good. Within this frame, Socrates and his companions explore arguments that the soul survives bodily death. The reasoning often connects knowledge to unchanging realities, suggesting that the mind reaches beyond the merely physical. Whether readers accept the conclusions or not, the structure of the discussion models careful inquiry. Objections are raised, revised arguments are offered, and emotional concerns are treated respectfully. The dialogue also conveys a distinctive image of calm courage grounded in a worldview rather than in denial. Socrates' demeanor becomes part of the philosophical message. A life ordered by reflection can meet death without panic. Phaedo is also significant for introducing readers to Platonic themes often associated with forms, the reliability of reason, and the idea that moral purification has intellectual and ethical dimensions. The topic helps readers see how Plato ties personal conduct, epistemology, and metaphysics together into a unified picture of what it means to live wisely. Lastly, Socratic method and the ethics of questioning across the four dialogues. Taken as a sequence, the four dialogues illustrate not only ideas but also a distinctive way of thinking. Socrates repeatedly asks for definitions, tests claims for consistency, and distinguishes what someone believes from what they can justify. This method can feel uncomfortable because it reveals how much of ordinary confidence rests on habit, authority, or vague language. Yet the collection portrays questioning as ethically serious. Clarity is not a game but a prerequisite for living well. The dialogues also show how philosophical inquiry operates under pressure. In Euthyphro, the challenge is intellectual pride. In Apology, it is social hostility and political judgment. In Crito, it is the temptation of self-preservation and loyalty. In Phaedo, it is the ultimate emotional test of mortality. Across all of them, Socrates insists that reasons matter more than applause, and that the state of one's soul matters more than external outcomes. Readers learn that the Socratic method is not merely skeptical, it aims at moral improvement by removing confusion and exposing contradictions. This topic ties the book together by showing a consistent commitment to rational examination, and it highlights why these dialogues have remained central to education in ethics, civic thought, and critical reasoning for centuries. In conclusion, this book suits readers who want a foundational entry into philosophy, especially students, self-learners, and anyone interested in ethics, civic responsibility, or the enduring question of how to live well. It is also valuable for readers who feel tension between personal conscience and social pressure, because the dialogues dramatize the conflict in a concrete, memorable narrative. The collection can benefit a reader's life by sharpening critical thinking and moral reflection. It models how to ask better questions, how to separate reputation from character, and how to evaluate decisions by principles rather than by immediate outcomes. Even when the arguments are debated, the commitment to examining beliefs is practical. It encourages intellectual humility, clearer speech, and more deliberate choices. Compared with many modern introductions, this volume offers the original classical source in a compact form and shows ideas in action through dialogue rather than through abstract summary. That makes it uniquely engaging and easier to remember. It is also worth buying because it includes multiple perspectives on the same figure and crisis, allowing readers to see how issues of piety, justice, law, and death connect into one coherent ethical vision. Few short philosophy books deliver comparable depth, narrative power, and cultural influence in one place. If you would like to support Plato, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.